Good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil the Podcast. Happy Tuesday, co-host. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Luckily for us here in Atlanta, GA, the weather was a lot more complimentary than it has been or had been earlier in the week. So we got some sun, we got some nice weather, some a nice opportunity for us to kind of enjoy the outdoors, which is great. I did get some sun. I did spend some time outside, had a little patio lunch day, which was cool. But I also spent some time resting. And that was good. I've actually found myself, particularly on Monday, like after the work day was over, I literally just kind of laid in my bed because I didn't sleep very well the night before. So I laid in my bed. It was dark outside. I didn't have on the TV. I just kind of laid there. I listened to music. It was good. It was good for me. and I'm reminded at how bad I am about doing those types of things throughout the work week so that I can decompress. Those of us who have the ability, the opportunity, the privilege, depending on who you speak to work from home, I think a lot of us have found it difficult to build in those stops that we would have if we were working in the office. Like I normally tell agents when I'm speaking to them in our Zoom visits that the advantage of working from home is, you know, you can start and stop and go and kind of continuously throughout your day without much thought. The disadvantage of working from home is you can stop and go without much preparation throughout your day. And it's sometimes it's hard to put those hard stops in the day. Whereas when you're in the office, you have these things that are built in. You're going to go to the break room to get more water or coffee or tea. You're going to run into somebody that you haven't seen or somebody from a department you used to work in or somebody you just enjoy speaking to, and you're going to have a conversation. You're going to go to the bathroom and the same thing's going to happen. You're going to go to someone's office with the intention of asking one question and having a conversation, or you're going to go stop by somebody's office you haven't seen because perhaps they were on vacation, or somebody's going to come by your office. All of these things are kind of built into your day and they give you an opportunity to kind of break up the monotony. But when you're working from home and it's just you and you're in your office or whatever space you've designated as your workspace, sometimes it's difficult. Emails come to my phone. I literally got an email last night at 12:31 and I opened it. I read it because in my mind, I'm like, well, this is something I'm going to have to handle. And I was hoping when I opened it that the issue really had resolved itself and it wasn't much for me to do, but I was wrong about that. So it was the first thing I did this morning when I woke up because it was the first thing that was on my mind. Let me handle this particular situation. And I'm bad about stopping and saying, oh, let me go eat breakfast. Oh, let me go eat lunch. Oh, let me take a 15-minute break, walk away from this, walk outside on my patio or my deck. I don't have patio. Walk outside on my deck and get some fresh air or some sun, some vitamin D. Oh, I need to go get my mail and walk to the mailbox, get some exercise in for something. It's so hard to do those things. And I promised myself that I would be better in 2021 than I was in 2020 about that. And I have failed miserably. Here we are, almost the middle of May. Today is the 11th. And I haven't taken a single vacation day for my 2021 bank. Like I took some time in February, but it was rollover time that I carried over from 2020. It was like 4 days. I took it around the President's Day holiday, which I like to do anytime there's one of those 3-day weekends. It's like a built-in, it's like the perfect build-in for a vacation. Cause the way I look at it is you have the weekend, like you can literally leave on Friday knowing that I got the weekend off. I'm going to have Monday off and then I'm going to have the rest of the week to kind of do what I want to do. And then I'll have that Saturday and Sunday to kind of recuperate from the week before I go back to work on Monday. And I haven't taken any time. I've taken one sick day this year and that's it. And it's May. And so I need to get on the ball because it looks like I'm going to be in one of those situations which I'm perfectly fine with, where towards the end of the year, I'm just going to take some time off, which might work out well for me because I'm thinking about, you know, hopefully by that time, more of the world will be vaccinated. And so I would feel more comfortable getting on a plane and traveling home to like see my folks, which, you know, I'm looking forward to. I'll see my dad in a couple weeks because he's going to be here in Atlanta, which is great. But like to see my mom, my bonus mom, to see my brother, at least one of my brothers, because the other brother lives in Texas now. But to see like my mom's side of the family as well, my aunt, my uncle, my cousins. I have a lot of little cousins, one whom I have not met because he was born last year. So yeah, all of those things, I would look forward to it. But I say all that to say that, you know, life is full of processes, learning process, growing process, development process, grieving process, but particularly the healing process, which is what I want to spend some time talking about today. Because I think it's important, and I think it's sometimes something that I included, am very guilty, is something I take for granted. I'm a Virgo, and I consider Virgos walking, talking publicist. We are overly concerned. Most of us, we're not all the same, but the majority of the Virgos that I know are very concerned about the spin of a particular situation, how they're viewed, how they're perceived. And obviously these are things that we can't often control, but if you have the mind of a publicist, your job is to angle the story in a way that shines the light on the situation, on the person, in the way in which you want it to shine. And that's how Virgos operate, how many of us operate, particularly me. And I think that in trying to present in a certain way, whether it's the way I feel or not, when it comes to healing, it's probably done me a disservice. This past Sunday was Mother's Day. And as I've admitted, if not here, I've definitely admitted it other places, it's the one holiday. I think I just talked about it last week. I did, because last week's episode was about Mother's Day. And it was the first time I talked about it, which why I don't quite remember. Mother's Day is the one holiday that still kind of triggers me. I know this is going to sound bad, but it's difficult. It's hard for me, even when it's people that I love, people that I have a relationship with, it's hard to see the tributes and the, oh, me and mom are having brunch. Oh, me and mom are having dinner. And I oftentimes talk about how I did not necessarily cry. I'm not a crier. That is not my natural go-to in terms of emotion, but particularly with death, my receptors are not turned towards tears. And I've heard and I've said and I've encouraged other people to cry because there is a healing factor to crying. And I think people know that. I think people who are criers totally embody the fact that there's a healing factor to crying. You know, it's a release and it's important. And that is just not exactly how I'm wired. But particularly when it comes to death, I don't know why, you know, I could watch a sad story about an elderly man or woman and get teary eyed. I can watch a story about a child and the interaction that they're having with a parent or a loved one and get teary eyed. But death, for whatever reason, doesn't do that to me. And when my mom passed, I did not cry a great deal. Doesn't mean I didn't miss her. Doesn't mean I don't miss her. I think about her constantly, especially on days like Mother's Day, her birthday, my birthday, different holidays. Like, she definitely comes to mind and is at the forefront of my mind. Not to mention, my mom was cremated, and so her urn a very costly urn is in my office. And so it's there. But you know, the crazy thing about it is I know that it's there, but I oftentimes don't even look in that direction. And I don't know if that's purposefully. Like she's situated on a bookshelf, has her own space, and there are things around it that remind me of her, things that I've purposely put there. But I don't necessarily look up at the, you know, I don't look at it often. I don't even think I went into my office on Mother's Day just to, you know, have a moment, which is what a lot of people do. They go to the cemetery, and they lay flowers, they spend time there, they talk, they commune, they pray, whatever, and do any of those things. And it just reminded me that everybody's process of healing is different. And it's the one thing that I think that we humanly take for granted, the importance of healing, but also realizing that everybody's process of healing is different. And you should never feel or be made to feel that how you're dealing with something, how you're healing from a particular situation. And I'm just kind of talking about death currently and grief, which is associated, that process of grieving, because of we're on the heels of Mother's Day and my mother is deceased. But in anything, I think it's important for us as individuals to know what it is we need, what it is we require from others and for ourselves to properly heal. When my relationship ended at the end of 2018, going into 2020, the most important thing for me was to give myself time. I've been around a lot of people who have been in breakup situations. And so I've gotten an opportunity to observe from the outside looking in, because this was from a person who had not experienced that type of loss before. But from the outside looking in, I was just able to observe how people dealt with it. And there are multiple different philosophies. I know people who drank their way through it, who fucked their way through it, who smoked their way through it, who isolated themselves, who begged for another opportunity, who went back and forth with that person. I've seen it done a lot of different ways. And the one thing that I noticed in all of the situations that I had observed was that I don't feel like any of those people in any of those situations gave themselves the time that they needed to heal. Whether you decide to give a person a second chance, whether you decide to move on, you still owe yourself time to heal, because something was broken for you to find yourself in a situation where the relationship was not able to carry on the way that it was. Something was broken. And chances are something had been broken. But at the moment that you broke up, that thing, whatever it was, broke. Trust, it broke. Whatever the thing was that created the separation, at that moment, it broke. And that requires healing. Our bodies are unique because in a lot of ways, in most ways, they self-heal. And our bodies are miraculous because their natural response to certain traumas is to do things so that you can naturally heal. And that's why people who are naturalists and herbalists and people who believe in the power of our body mixed with, you know, the universe and herbs and different things like that, they know that our bodies are built in such a way that it has everything that it needs to heal itself. And then if you add a few things like the herbs and the spices of life, of the world, of the earth, you can help to accelerate that natural healing process. But it doesn't happen overnight. You break a bone, and once the bone is set, it'll heal. It'll mend. But you got to give it an opportunity to do that. You know, you dislocate something, the first thing you got to do is get it back in place. But once you get back in place, your body will begin to do what it needs to do in order to heal from that. A cut is one of those common things. You cut yourself and your body is, you know, bleeding and actively trying to clot, you know, all of those things is our body healing itself. And it happens naturally. And because it is a natural process, most of us don't think about it. Sometimes we do things to ourselves, and this is how phenomenal the human body is. Sometimes we do things to ourselves and we don't even realize that we've done it. Have you ever cut yourself, scratched yourself, and it wasn't until you happened to hit it the wrong way, or you went to go put on lotion or wash your hands or put on hand sanitizer, you're like, oh shit, that burns. And he's like, I got a cut there. How did that happen? The body is phenomenal, but it's natural. And even though we're not aware of the process, it's going on. So when something happens, a trauma, a loss, a heartbreak, we oftentimes do things that are very unnatural to heal, as opposed to just giving ourselves the time that's necessary for the process to carry itself out. And I've just been thinking about that a lot. You know, oftentimes we allow outside forces to dictate our healing. In situations, breakups, we allow the other person to dictate our healing. It's like, well, I'm ready to be a better person. So that means because I'm ready to be a better person, we should do this. And it's like, well, wait. I understand you've had time to process and time to get to this place where you feel more ready than you were. But what about me? And what about my process? What about my healing? What about the time that it takes? What about what it is that I need to feel comfortable to walk back into this situation? You know, that is why I kind of dismiss the notion that the best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody else or get on top of somebody else, because that is an unnatural way of trying to speed up the healing process. And as a person who's attempted to do that, it don't work. It don't work. People who you see getting out of relationships and immediately getting into relationships, you know, those rebound situations, that is an example of somebody trying to rush the process of healing and grieving, because the loss of a relationship, like the loss of a loved one, is a loss, and it requires a period of time where you recover from that loss. You gave up things to be in that situation. You sacrificed things to be in that situation. Yourself, in some ways, you've sacrificed your ideals or some of the, you know, your morals, some of the things you want, you've compromised. And so now that you've done that and the relationship ain't worked, you need a moment. You got to take a beat to figure it out. Same thing with the loss of a loved one. People oftentimes find themselves in situations where they are making drastic changes in response to the loss of a loved one. And it is an unnatural way to heal. In my industry, because I work in financial services, we and a lot of times it's life and life insurance and then retirement planning. One of the conversations that we have is that of liquidity and suitability in special circumstances. So we can throw out the liquidity situation, but we'll talk about suitability. Suitability is simply what's suitable, what makes sense. And we talk about it particularly in special circumstances. A special circumstance, a client with a special circumstance, is someone who is retired because their income is fixed, disabled because their income is fixed and their ability to earn is compromised because of a disability, a student because their income is fixed or they don't have access to ways to gain more money. And someone, particularly, this is the big one, someone who has experienced a windfall due to a one-time event, whether that be a positive thing like, hey, I hit the lottery, hey, I got a settlement, or it be something unfortunate like, oh, this is a death claim. I received this claim because I lost a loved one. And we tell agents to be very careful in these situations because oftentimes people are not in the right frame of mind to make serious decisions, especially financial ones, ones that carry a bearing throughout the entirety of your life, depending on where you are. You know, when we're talking about death claims, we're typically talking about people who are older, you know, the loss of a loved one, loss of a spouse, death claim, couple $100,000, you know, it's settlement money, so there's no taxes involved with it. So it's literally money that you didn't expect. And what to do with this money? Is it best to invest some of this money? I mean, sure, but not at the risk or the cost of making a decision that you're going to have to undo or you're going to regret or that you need to make some changes to later on. Because once you put the money in the vehicle, and that means that once you've made an investment, there are short-term, mid-term, and long-term investments, but most investments require a bit of time in order for you to see any benefit, any residual benefit. That's not the word I'm looking for. I'm actually looking for a word that I can't think of right now. ROA is going to have to be there for a period of time for you to actually get the benefit, the return on the investment, ROI. ROA is something else, the return on asset. ROI, return on investment. It has to sit there for a period of time. And too often we see people, hey, I got $250,000 because of this one-time event. I'm going to put the entire $250,000 in this investment vehicle because I won't need this money for another 10 to 15 years. I don't have no debt. I don't have this. And then 6 to 12 months later, somebody's coming to you like, hey, I need $50,000. And you're like, what do you need $50,000 for? And the argument is, well, it's my money. Why are you questioning me? Well, because in our initial conversation, we didn't discuss you needing $50,000. Had we done that, had we had that conversation, we could have left some money out of this investment. So instead of putting an entire $200,000 in investment, you only would have put $200,000 in the investment and kept that $50,000 out. I'm talking too fast. Let me slow down. Or we could have put that money in a money market where there's no sales charges, there's no risk. It's just money that's kind of placed there. And if you don't need it, we can reallocate it or we can do something. The point I'm trying to make is that if you are making decisions that are either forced upon you without taking the time to do what you need to do to heal, you can find yourself making some mistakes and doing the same thing over and over and over again. And everybody has a right to their own process, and it should take however long they feel it should take. Now, granted, if your process of healing is causing other issues, you know, you're incapable of being present, you in life, you're unable to work, You become unreliable, you become a different person, then it means that your process of healing requires help. Mental, psychological help. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's part of your process. But I think we need to get to a place where we allow ourselves the grace of healing and realizing that it is a process. It's very individualistic. It's different for different people. I know people who have lost their mothers and have been seriously debilitated by that loss. It's taken them months and years if they've recovered at all. I know some people who haven't recovered at all. And some of that is because the loss, the weight of that loss was so heavy on them that they needed help. And it's okay if you need help from an external force, but you should never allow somebody to push you into something, push you away from what you need in order to get to a healthy place. Because at the end of the day, we're all trying to get, as NDRE says, back to the middle. Middle is center. Middle is center. When you see two scales and you're balancing the scales, it's all about getting to the center. When a person writes a pros and cons list, it's all about getting to the center. You know, everything is about getting back to the middle, to a place where you feel centered, where you actually know what your, what they say, your center of gravity, where you actually know where there is, you feel firm, you feel secure, you can't be shook. Everything that we do is about finding the center. You sing in the center of a pitch. You know what I'm saying? If you want to be firmly planted in a particular sport, any sport, it's all about having a center where you can't be moved, where you can't be shook. That's important. And so healing, the process of healing allows us all to get back to the center, because we're going to be in things that are going to pull us in different directions, pull us left, right, up and down. And that's away from your center. And loss and heartbreak and, you know, other circumstances of life cause you to be uncentered, cause you to be imbalanced. And the goal is always to get back to center and do whatever it takes to get you back there. Meditation, prayer, yoga, therapy, even in those instances where you might have to have some help, some prescription help, you know, that is all about curing an imbalance to get you back to center, to get you back to a healthy place, to get you back to a place where your body can naturally do what it does in order to effectuate your healing. So that's my message today. Healing is a process, and just like our bodies naturally heal without us even really realizing what's going on, you know, we have to allow the healing process to happen in a very natural way. And some of the things that we do to speed up the process, I consider those things to be unnatural, and they do us more harm than good. So take your time. If you were in a bad situation, don't allow someone else to dictate when you've healed. Don't allow someone else to dictate when it's time for you to move on or move forward. That's up to you. That's your call. And do whatever it is you need in order to heal. Prayer, supplication, fasting, therapy, yoga, a trip to the Himalayan mountains, whatever it is you need to do, do it, and give yourself the time and the grace to heal in the way that makes the most sense for you. We've come to the end of our day. I'm so grateful and so blessed to have so many people who are supportive of me, and I don't take that for granted. I love you. I'm working every week to get back to the consistency that I've had in past seasons, even if it's a little late. So if it's not morning when you're listening to this, it's okay. I still love you. It's still Tuesday. Continue to like, to rate, to share. If you know somebody who's going through something, and I know that Mother's Day and other holidays can be very, very difficult for people, even people who lost their parents years ago. You know what I'm saying? I'm new to the game in terms of losing a mother. It's less than 10 years for me, but I know people who are still suffering 20, 30 years later with the loss. They're wrestling with the loss and how they feel about the loss of a loved one, be it a mother or grandmother or aunt or anybody, even relationships or children. I mean, whatever it is, take the time, heal, share this with somebody that you know needs to hear it. I love y'all, and I will see you, or will not see you, but we'll be here, same place, same time, next Tuesday. All right. Peace.